Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back in, everyone, to the Go247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, the senior writer here at the site. Once again, joined by our contributing writer, Dylan Sanders, our senior student here at LSU, about ready to graduate here in a few months. Dylan, thanks for hopping on again. You and I were both at the game last night. Certainly plenty to take away, I think, from the Tigers' 38-0 victory. But I guess first off, just how did you make it back last night? Did you get back all right?
Yeah, everything was good. This was easily the best traffic game. But also last night I tweeted happy birthday to Mark Hamill and he replied. So nothing really? Can bring me down right. Nothing really? Can bring me down right now. Yeah.
Wow. Luke Skywalker himself replied to a tweet.
Yep. Okay. It felt great. All right. So I think we can end the podcast here and we're good.
Yeah. We've got a celebrity in our midst in a very indirect way, but, awesome. Awesome. Well, hopefully the force is with us on this one. So,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we got, obviously LSU won 38-0 last night. They won their third straight home game, by taking out New Mexico. Really just a dominant performance all around, defensively to get a shutout, not only just to pitch a shutout, but also to hold the Lobos offense to under 100 yards. I mean, that's really tough to do. And, Brian Kelly kind of said after the game that, it doesn't really matter the competition. That's extremely hard to do because, college football and really football in general is tailored to offensive success. And so for Matt House and, that defense to draw up a game plan and execute it to perfection, they only had two first downs throughout the entire night. I thought that was an extremely, positive sign as you head into, SEC play here. I thought, defensively, really the last 3 weeks, LSU has been stellar. And if you can carry that kind of momentum, carry that kind of confidence and consistency that you're seeing out of this LSU defense, I think you're going to be competitive in pretty much every game. I was, talking to a couple of reporters after the game and, they were pretty much in the same boat. If LSU can be this consistent on defense, there's no reason why they can't be competitive in every single SEC game this year. And you saw it kind of towards the end of last year, the defense picked it up and they were very competitive against, the Alabamas of the world and beat Texas A&M on the last game of the year. And, obviously it's a really, completely new defense now, but you're seeing some of the signs of what it takes to be a consistent defense and have consistent success in this conference. So I guess we can start defensively. Was there anything that you took away from the game, I guess schematically or just kind of how they were using certain guys and how they were able to really execute this game plan to perfection?
Yeah, I'll start defensively. One of the things I noticed early on, it was interesting without B.J. Ojulari, you expected them to go to have the same, pretty much the same defensive approach, but just put Perkins at the jack position. But with also Jerick Bernard-Converse going back, Jay Ward being out, no true starting nickel. I mean, Sage Ryan played the nickel whenever they went into the dime packages, but we saw a lot more 4-3 action than we have in the past couple of weeks, with Savion Jones and Ali Gay being on the edge, and then Harold Perkins moving back to be the third linebacker. So again, encouraging to see Matt House be able to play. I mean, we know he has like a multiple defense, so he has different looks. He has a bunch of different looks, but it's good to see him play with the LSU personnel and not be afraid to switch it up to play to the people that they have playing strengths.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I thought probably one of the bigger takeaways I had was, you know, in the secondary, how those guys continue to hold up, you know, in a game where you expect it to be very run heavy and not exactly passing the ball, you know, 30, 35 times. You know, I think it can be difficult probably for those corners and those safeties to really stay engaged and focused throughout the course of the game. And I thought Jerick Bernard-Converse was tremendous in kind of a temporary role at safety, because you know, not only was LSU missing Jay Ward, but it looks like Major Burns is going to be out for the next 3 to 6 weeks. Sounds like it's a neck injury that LSU just really needs him to rest. So that was a little bit of a loss there. Actually, not a little bit. That's a pretty big loss, because he's a huge communicator for the secondary. But on the bright side, you do get Joe Fusha back next week after a 4-game suspension. But, you know, I thought that, you know, look, they had to be really poised. And I thought that they executed really well. I think I liked what, you know, kind of what they did, like you mentioned, with having Perkins as that third linebacker. They've brought in West Weeks quite a bit, I thought, in this game. I thought he popped on the screen a little bit. I thought he was pretty consistent. And, yeah, I mean, look, when you're missing your star edge rusher like Ojulari, you're going to need those secondary guys to step up. And I thought Savion Jones brought some great pressure on the outside. Jaquelin Roy, you know, Makai Wingo, those guys did a really nice job of stuffing the run for the most part. I mean, New Mexico's offense is built on the run, and so you knew they were going to run the ball a lot, but to hold them to like 41 yards, I think, rushing throughout the entire game was an extremely confidence boosting kind of performance, I think, defensively. And so, you know, I think that was, you know, a really, really important, you know, sign for LSU to really come out strong. You know, Kelly kind of mentioned it to us after the game that, you know, they wish they'd put up a few more points in that first half. You know, they only went into the half up 17-0, but at the same time, they felt confident that New Mexico wasn't going to be able to move the ball against them in the second half, and it proved to be true. I mean, they didn't move the ball really at all during the game. They had 2 first downs throughout the entire game, and, you know, it was smooth sailing from there. But
yeah, like no matter who your opponent is, it is so hard for 60 minutes to only give up 2 first downs.
Yeah.
I mean, the way Noah Cain talked to us last night and was saying, hey, we know you can get upset at any time, so you can't afford to overlook these opponents. And we've seen that this year. We've seen teams lose to teams worse than New Mexico that are better than LSU. So, like, it's super impressive and super encouraging to see all of the team buy in completely for 60 minutes and never take the foot off the pedal. I mean, the third team defense is out there getting hyped up, getting stops. And we heard it. This was easily the loudest locker room of the year.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. I mean, it sounded like, honestly, that they had just beaten Alabama at home after that game, because they were just so dominant on both sides of the ball. And we'll get to the offense in a second, but you brought up a good point there. Defensively, you know, you had the third stringers there in for most of the fourth quarter. We were both on the field there for a lot of the fourth quarter, and you could see a lot of the defensive starters, you know, hyping those guys up, you know, trying to, you know, we asked Greg Brooks afterwards, you know, just when you see kind of all the third string guys in there and you want to, I guess, kind of keep that, not only that shutout going, but also the 100 yards thing going, you know, they they were just as excited as, you know, seeing those third string guys in there hold that up as they were when they were on the field. So that's just a really positive sign, I think, defensively, when you have that kind of cohesion, that chemistry building this early in the season. Because, look, I mean, even 2 weeks ago against Southern, there were a couple of, you know, miscommunications that led to big plays, and Southern scored a couple times in that game. And, you know, you're going to get that, I think, with most games. I mean, this was just a completely dominant performance defensively that just really needed to be talked about. And so
before we move on to the offense, I do also one person that we need to shout out because he finally got into the game. Seven Banks.
Yeah.
Played for the first time this year, and he looked really promising in the run game, which I think is very important for him to carve out a role moving forward in a room that has not looked like it needs more competition, which is crazy to say given how the room was going into spring.
Yeah, I mean, Seven had, you know, four tackles, half a tackle for a loss. He was a key role on special teams, especially on kickoffs. You know, we expected him to get some run, and you know, LSU really threw him out there. I thought he played a lot. I mean, he was out there defensively a lot more than I thought he might be in his first game back. But I think that just goes to show how, you know, LSU feels comfortable with how healthy he is, you know, kind of heading into this SEC stretch here. You know, I guess we can move on offensively unless there's anything else you wanted to touch on defensively, or was that pretty much it?
Last person, Greg Brooks is a stud.
Yeah.
Stud. Well,
he and Wes Weeks, I think, are kind of competing for like biggest hits on the team. I mean, he played some huge hits in that game last night. Wes Weeks, it seems like whenever he's making a tackle, he's really knocking someone on their you-know-whats. I mean, he is just really, really a forceful hitter. And he's another young guy. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman or a sophomore. I think he's a redshirt freshman, but he might be a sophomore. But again, another young guy who's getting a lot of opportunity, a lot of play here early in the season, and I think is someone you can really count on rotationally you know, throughout the course of this year at that linebacker spot, which is really growing more and more deep by the week. It really looks like those guys are in really locked unison. But, you know, I guess just kind of shifting to the offense, it was just the biggest takeaway I had was that's the ideal form of Jaden Daniels that you hope to see this season and kind of continue to develop for LSU. You know, I think he probably saw or heard some of the noise or kind of got some of the quotes that Kelly was talking about earlier last week. He was not looking to run at all in this game, and that was one of the bigger takeaways I had. Not only was the pocket clean, the offensive line did a really great job in this one, and we'll get to that, but he had time to throw the ball, and he was not – I mean, he was going through his progressions. You know, he was making those quick decisions early in the game. But even when those quick decisions weren't there, he was still, you know, looking downfield, looking for an open receiver. And I thought he was really fantastic in the passing game. Obviously, we know what he can do as a runner. But you really wanted to see some of that consistency as a passer. And he goes, you know, 24 for 29 for, you know, 279 yards.
And most of the incompletions came on some miscommunications pre-snap not just missed throws.
Yeah. And when you do that, I guess, without a star player like Kayshon Booty, that really, I think, is a great sign for this offense. I mean, they got Jack Besh involved in the passing game a lot more. I'll certainly get to Besh more later in this as well, but yeah, Malik Nabers had some really great moments as well. Jerae Jenkins, you know, Kyron Lacy, Mason Taylor, all those guys had at least four catches in this game. And that was, you know, he was spreading the ball around. I think he hit nine different receivers throughout his time on the field. He did go out about, you know, 4 or 5 minutes into the third quarter with that injury, and he didn't return. From everything that I've heard, it's not very serious. You know, he could have gone back into that game last night. Sounds like he'll be available for Auburn next week, so really not a big injury there. But it was a little bit of a back strain, and those backs are a little bit tricky at times. So it'll certainly be something to keep an eye on throughout the week. But You know, I thought Jaden was fantastic. What were your assessments of how he looked?
Yeah, by far the most decisive and trustworthy we've seen him so far this week. I talked about him a piece coming out this morning, but it just he showed confidence in every single target. And one big thing I saw this week that I don't remember seeing in the past couple weeks is a focused effort of if the play breaks down, get the ball to a running back as opposed to take off himself. I like this move that Jaden has of running. It's dangerous, but running around, getting up right up to the line of scrimmage and then tossing to whoever's open a couple yards ahead of him.
Yeah.
Cause it is safer. It's dangerous because it's easy to mess up, step over the line penalty, but it is safer for him to not take those hits, and also buys a couple yards of extra yards every time. So I'm glad he's shown a lot more the past couple weeks, especially today, that his eyes are downfield.
Yeah.
And he is trusting to get the ball out, which goes to show that it takes a little time to mold into the offense and get it and understand and really trust those guys in the game situation.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Yeah, I mean, LSU scored, I think, on 5 of their 7 drives with him as quarterback, and there was a missed field goal in there. There were a couple of penalties on one of those drives that really derailed the drive there. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think there was some offensive pass interference in there.
There was an OPI on Malik Nabers.
And, that would have been for a touchdown pass, and you know, I didn't really get a chance to see it on the replay, but you got to go with the gut reaction there with the referee call. But yeah, I mean, I thought Jaden really looked great. You know, I guess we just continuing with the quarterbacks, you know, it was also really great to see Garrett Nussmeier. You know, you and I talked about it, you know, last week on our last pod, how much we really wanted to see Garrett Nussmeier kind of shrug that off. We kind of figured it was that first game off. We kind of figured it was going to be a game where LSU would be able to pull away, rather early and get, you know, Nussmeier some good snaps and some good series. And he looked, you know, really, really sharp. I thought, you know, from a throwing perspective, that's kind of what LSU saw most of fall from him, why the competition was a little bit closer than maybe people thought. But, you know, he goes 9 of 10 for over 130 yards and a touchdown, really just confident and comfortable. And that's the thing with both of those guys. They looked extremely comfortable with what they were doing, with what they were being asked to do, with the reads they were making, with the throws that they were making. Just all of it was really, really sharp. You know, that 57-yard touchdown with Brian Thomas there in the third, fourth quarter range. Easy throw, and that's an example of what they've talked about with this offense really from the start of fall camp, is we want to get the ball to the playmakers and let them make the plays. And they got the ball to Brian Thomas there on a quick screen pass, and he takes it up the field for 57 yards, and it's a touchdown. I mean, he made some really great moves during that run, and it was just a really, really good overall showing, I think, from the passing offense.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brian Thomas Jr. He is an early leader in the clubhouse, in my opinion, for most improved player. Mm-hmm. Just from year one to year two, he is proven to be – if a true wide receiver two. Next year, maybe wide receiver one, depending on what happens. But he has proven to be a great contributor, which is some to see because, you know, last year was a little iffy, had some drops, had some issues, but he's a dangerous playmaker and a guy of his size to move like he did on that touchdown run after the catch was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you got a good glimpse of what this team or what this offense could look like without Kayshon. You know, I think there's a growing sense, or there has been a sense for a long time, that he's going to go pro after this year. And so to see guys like Neighbors, like Brian Thomas, like Jack Besh, build that, you know, chemistry and that on-field.
Kyron Lacy had a good day.
Yeah. Chris Hilton had a nice play too. To see those guys have build that chemistry with both Daniels and Nussmeier, but particularly Nussmeier, because I think we all think Nussmeier is going to have a really good shot at being the quarterback next year. That was an extremely positive sign for me to see that those guys really didn't skip a beat without Kayshon there on the field. They were as efficient as they've looked all season offensively in the passing game. And yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about Jack Besh, a guy that obviously got off to a pretty slow start, two catches through 3 weeks. But just look, I mean, you could tell from an early start that they wanted to get him involved in this game, not just from a passing perspective, but they threw him back there at punt returner. And he easily looked the most comfortable of any player that we've seen through the first month of the season at that position. He had the 76-yard punt return called back because of a, let's just say, iffy blocking call, illegal blocking call. He looked really good, I thought, at the punt returner spot. I think LSU has something there with him. Coach Kelly said as much after the game, and that they think he's a fearless player on the field, and that he is going to make some really big plays for LSU this year, and that it was nice to get him more involved. You saw a lot of his routes. You kind of came in slot, which is a lot of what we kind of expected this year. I think early on in the season, it had been a lot of Neighbors in that slot role, but they were able to mix them both into there and on the inside of the field. I think that's the great thing about this receiver group, is that they're able to move these guys around so much. And you got Neighbors on the outside, you put them in the slot, you put them at the Z. There's just a lot of ways that they can use these guys. And I thought that, Jack was really, really solid as kind of a, not only just a check down option for Daniels, but he was a first look in a lot of those throws from Jaden and from Garrett. So that's real positive that you were able to get him going a little bit. Was there anything that you saw with Besh's game that you think is going to be, consistent moving forward with how they want to use him?
Yeah. He continues to be a guy that you just get the ball to, and he makes plays. Uh-huh. He looks good. He looks like the Besh that you want to see coming from his strong freshman year into the sophomore year. Like, no one's numbers, I think it's clear to see, on this offense are going to be crazy at the end of the year. Just because they are averaging 9.5 pass catchers a game. So when you're spreading the ball out like that, it's going to be hard for one person to stand out each night on the box score. But the effort that Besh brings consistently is awesome. And that's something you want. And I think I like the look of Brian Thomas, Malik Neighbors on the outside, Besh in the slot. Besh continues. It really seems like he could line up anywhere on the offense, which is promising for sure.
Yeah. I wonder if they kind of thrust him into a Brock Bowers role, where they kind of do a couple rushing plays with him a game too. I mean, he's got a really good sense of running lanes, and we saw it on that punt return. He's a guy that I think you could certainly draw up a couple of, reverses for or something, just creative ways to get him some more touches. And it'll be very interesting to see how all those guys mesh once Kayshon gets back next week against Auburn. I'll be very interested to see how that looks. From a running perspective, I thought LSU was really, really good. You got Noah Cain going a little bit, which I think was a big question for me personally coming in, was how involved he would be after really not getting much of a look at all against Mississippi State. You know, he had 11 carries for 94 yards, had the big 49-yard touchdown in the second half. That was nice to see. Armani Goodwin was a guy that they were really relying on down by the goal line. He had a pair of touchdowns as well. You had John Emery with 45 yards on 9 touches. Josh Williams was in there as a third down back, as your pass catching third down back, and he had a nice couple of first down plays in this game as well. I was really encouraged by the running game. They ran for 219 yards total, averaged a little over 5 yards a carry. The fact that they were able to get all 4 of those guys some looks, I thought was really interesting, because really heading into this game, it had been mostly a 2 and 3 horse back race, first with Kane and Armani and Josh, and then with Emery and Kane, or Emery, and then with Emery and Goodwin and Williams. So, I think the fact they were able to get all 4 of those guys in was a really, really positive sign. I know you were looking at the running backs a little bit. Was there anybody that really kind of stood out from that group that you really want to talk about or anything like that?
Yeah, this was kind of the Noah Cain that you've wanted to see based off of what we saw in camp. Obviously, the camp production and the season production has not matched up. I think his long run, I don't know the yardage between Armani Goodwin and Noah Cain's runs back-to-back weeks, but felt like the strongest run that they had all season. He was just powering through people. I made the joke at one point last night, if you extrapolate his run, his game into like a full game, he was averaging at one point, like he was on pace at one point for like 600 yards and 10 touchdowns. Like he was a home run hitter. He was at 4 rushes, 2 touchdowns at one point in the game, yeah. Which is not bad at all to be. It's like, that's like a good wide receiver stat line. Yeah. He almost eclipsed 100 yards. It was at the end of the game. He looked really good, and Emery continues to show flashes of excellence beyond the rust, but he did have that fumble. I believe that was him fumbling the ball.
Yeah,
they didn't lose yeah. the fumble, but he did. I believe he did fumble. My apologies if that's wrong. I believe that's what I believe happened. And Josh Williams still looks like a solid contributor. Willing blocker, pass catcher, kind of a little bit of a do it all. So it's looking like we were right in our preseason assessments that this is just going to be a constantly changing room. There's not going to be any workhorse at all.
Yeah,
and hasn't been shown a reason that there needs to be a workhorse.
No, I think so. I think that all 4 of those guys have shown flashes. I really liked Emery's run where he leapt over a guy, I think, for close to a first down, or he got a first down. He had a nice little athletic, acrobatic play there. I thought it was just an overall really good game for both sides of the ball. As you kind of head in here now to SEC play, which we'll turn to for a little bit here. We'll talk about LSU's next game against Auburn. Auburn is a team that is a chaotic 3-1 through 4 games here, and they are just rife with controversy. They have some very, very interesting things going on in that program right now. Sounds like Brian Harsin is on the hottest of hot seats in terms of SEC coaches. So this is going to be a very interesting game. One of the LSU's communications students was telling me yesterday, I'm really glad Auburn pulled out that win against Missouri, because, man, LSU going to face an interim coach next week in Jordan Hare just doesn't seem like a very good outcome for the Tigers, just because of how wonky this series has been. This is such an unpredictable game from an LSU perspective, just because, it really just seems like this is one of those games that you always expect to be close, or – that one team just absolutely dominates the other, and there is really no in between. So There's some really big quarterback, controversies going on right now in Auburn. You got TJ Finley, who was been injured for, this last game. He started the season as your starter. You had Zach Calzada, who is now out for the season with a season-ending injury. So at one point, Auburn in this game against Missouri on Saturday, which they won 17-14, was on their fourth-string quarterback at one point in that game. Lots of planning is going to be needed, I think, for this team, just because you don't really know what to expect. But they still have Tank Bigsby, though. That's the X factor for me. Just an early look at this team, a very early look. Tank is a guy that has given LSU some fits over the last couple of years. He's a very powerful back, not the biggest of backs, but he can get the job done. So, what are your early thoughts, I guess, on this matchup and what the Tigers will need to do to have some success here?
Well, either way, I think the Tigers are going to win the game. It's a joke because both teams are Tigers, but I don't know this. I feel like a fool, but man, Auburn Mizzou was some of the ugliest football I've ever seen in my entire life. And the fact that Auburn is 3-1 is kind of hilarious. And part of the reason I love college football, they're technically first in the SEC West right now, which is hilarious. Tied for first, but still
tied for first. Yeah.
I don't know. Auburn does not look good, but this series is always weird. So you can never overlook anybody. But as opposed to where you were going into the season where you're like, this is kind of a toss-up, this is a game that LSU should win. The big question mark you have to look, if it is Robbie Ashford, the past 3 years LSU has had trouble with the mobile quarterback and taking quarterbacks down after the run. I know that it's something that they're focused on themselves. But they're going to have to really buckle down and bring down Robbie Ashford, if that's who it is.
Yeah. They had Ashford had a rushing touchdown. He ran for almost 50 yards in that game on Saturday. I'm kind of with you in that same boat. It's going to be interesting to see how TJ Finley progresses throughout the week. Hasn't been a great start for Finley, but I mean, we've seen some flashes of him, even dating back to his LSU days. He can be a competent quarterback at times, and he has had his struggles this year. I think he's got 4 interceptions in the 2 games that he started, or 3 games he's played in, and then he's only got 1 touchdown pass. He's completing about 62% of his passes. But he's a guy that, I think, LSU's going to have to plan around if it's him at quarterback. I think he is a guy that you have to worry about from a passing perspective. It could be a game for this LSU secondary, especially when you're trying to implement Joe Fuchsia back into the mix of things, where you want to see your secondary continue to hold up there. I asked Bernard Converse last night if he sounds like he's going to stick at safety. Nope, he's going right back to corner. That was a 1-game deal, so. You're hopeful that not only Bernard Converse, but Seven Banks and Makai Garner and Colby Richardson and all those guys in the secondary can continue to hold up. But I'm going to be really focused on Tank Bigsby and just kind of how LSU is going to plan around him. If they can stop the run, I think they have a very good chance of winning this game. Defensively, LSU hasn't shown me anything to believe that they won't have some success in being able to stop the run and having just a really nice night in Auburn next weekend.
Before we head out, I do one thing that is worth noting. They had both Julian San and DJ Lagway in the building.
Yep.
So that's 3 with adding in Jaden Davis. Those are 3 5-star quarterbacks that LSU is in the running for the 2024 class, which is something that LSU is not really used to, being in the run for these top guys. And from my understanding of gathering information, it's both Julian Sain and Jane Davis, LSU is in serious contention with to get, and both would be great gets.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on. But Sain was in the building last night for a great win to bring someone in for.
Yeah, Sain is the real deal. I mean, he can absolutely fling it. I've watched some of his highlights. He's going to be a good one. And so, yeah, LSU is going to be in on him. I think it'll be interesting because they had a lot of 2024 kids in over the weekend. It's nice to see that they're starting to really build on that class, build on those relationships. It was a big weekend last week for that class as well. You had Desmond Ricks in town.
And Ellis Robinson.
Yeah, and Ellis Robinson. So it's nice to see that they're going, after those big guns here, and that really what's their first recruiting cycle where I feel like, that's the class where you're really going to get defined by this coaching staff. 2023, yes, you have a year to build those relationships, but really you want to get in on those guys when you're juniors and sophomores. And so now having that opportunity with 2024, I think you're really going to see the recruiting efforts of this coaching staff start to show.
And they've had two of the top quarterbacks, both the number one, number two cornerbacks in. Like, they're getting the big names to come to Baton Rouge, which is definitely very promising. Obviously, you have to wait and see how it all plays out, but the class from an early standpoint is looking very, very promising.
I agree completely. We'll try to get Sonny in for a pod maybe next week sometime. That would be nice to get a little recruiting update from him. But as always, guys, just continue to follow us along on YouTube. Make sure you're liking and subscribing everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you're just everything with all that, kind of helps us out and helps us continue to grow. What we hope has been an entertaining pod, since the shift. So, with that, we'll certainly get out of here and enjoy your football Sunday, but we'll be back sometime next week as well. So thanks, and we'll see you guys soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.